Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David Nakao Wilcoxon. This audio is from the Olivet Discourse Decoded video series. The videos were low-tech, mostly me just reading what's on the screen. So you're not missing much in the audio version. The Olivet Discourse Decoded PDFs that I refer to in the lessons can be found at www.theolivetdiscourse.com. Enjoy the lesson. Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David, and in this lesson, I'm going to explain the fulfillment of Matthew 24:31, which says, "And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And this is another gotcha verse that people proclaim has to be about the end times, because they take it literally and don't understand how Messiah uses symbolic language to point to a different literal fulfillment. But context is everything. In this video series, we've proven out how all of the previous declarations by Messiah were fulfilled in that generation of Jews. We've seen how the sun, moon, and stars being darkened in Matthew 24:29 is symbolic language that is declared repeatedly in the Old Testament to point to a leadership system being removed from power. It's describing the Jewish leadership system, the high priest, the sun, the Sanhedrin, the moon, the priests, the stars being removed from power during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. We've seen how coming in the clouds is symbolic language that is declared repeatedly in the Old Testament to point to judgment against people. Matthew 24:30 is pointing to Messiah coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory when he caused the mighty Roman army to desolate the unbelieving Jewish nation. The Jewish leaders delivered Messiah up to be killed to try to save their nation, and he caused the Romans to desolate it. It was their punishment for continuing in rebellion against the Heavenly Father. We've seen the fulfillment of the abomination of desolation in November 66 AD when Cestius and his army surrounded Holy Jerusalem to take it captive, and then, for no explained reason, they left. When the Jewish rebels chased after the fleeing army, it gave opportunity for the saints to flee Jerusalem to the mountains of Pella, as Messiah told them. Luke 21:20-21 says, "And when ye see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto." Messiah told his followers to flee Judea to avoid the time of great tribulation that came upon the Jewish nation during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. James, Messiah's brother, led the assembly in Jerusalem until he was stoned to death by the Jewish leaders in 62 AD. It's reported that Simeon led the believers to Pella to escape the calamity of the war. When the Jewish rebels killed thousands of soldiers as Cestius was leaving Judea, it incited the ire of the Roman emperor, who responded by sending three strong legions to take the Jews captive. But a worse enemy than the Roman army was the Jewish rebels, who caused hundreds of thousands of Jews to die in Jerusalem from murder, infighting, famine, pestilence, and suicide. Then at the end of the war, in 70 AD, the Roman army flooded into Jerusalem and killed hundreds of thousands of Jews, so that the ground was covered with bodies and blood. This fulfilled the prophecy in Daniel 9:27, which says, "And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." The bodies of 1.1 million Jews filled Jerusalem, the valleys that surround it, and the trees and crosses outside the city. This brings us to Matthew 24:31, "And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Luke 21:28, which is also about the Olivet Discourse, gives a different perspective than Matthew, speaking about their redemption. It says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." In the Greek dictionary, the phrase "look up" can mean to be elated. Instead of physically looking up, it means to change your mental disposition, to be elated that the desolation by the Roman army is over and you've been protected. The Strong's Dictionary Greek word for redemption doesn't just point to our redemption by the blood of the Passover lamb or to Messiah's return for his saints, but also to delivery from calamity. Jewish historian Josephus doesn't record any of Messiah's disciples being killed during the judgment that was poured out on the unbelieving Jews. They were delivered from the calamity which befell the Jews, and their deliverance was at an end. It drew nigh. So Messiah is not pointing to their salvation, but their freedom from being killed by the Romans as the siege had ended. This harkens back to the word that was spoken to Daniel, that the Jews who believe in Messiah would be delivered. Daniel 12:1 says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." So the saints whose name is written in the book of life, the Jews who believed in Messiah, were saved from the calamity of the Jewish-Roman war. Are you seeing the connection of the prophecy in Daniel 12 and the Olivet Discourse? That brings us to the next question. Who are the angels that are being referred to in Matthew 24:31? Our natural tendency is to think that it's heavenly angels, but that's not the context of the scene. The Strong's Greek dictionary word for angels is angelos, which means a messenger, especially an angel. By implication, a pastor, an angel, a messenger. Thayer's English Greek lexicon says that angelos is a messenger, envoy, one who is sent. Easton's Bible Dictionary says about the word angel that it signifies both in Hebrew and Greek a messenger, and hence employed to denote any agent God sends forth to execute his purposes. It is used of an ordinary messenger, of prophets, of priests, and ministers. Young's literal Bible translation reads, "And he shall send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet." The Scriptures Bible, the ISR, uses messengers instead of angels. The Aramaic English New Testament uses messengers instead of angels. And in the study notes, it says the Israelites would use a great shofar to call an assembly in times of great importance. Keep that in mind. So we can see the word angel, angelos in the Greek, doesn't just point to heavenly angels, but it can point to earthly leaders and messengers. With that in mind, let's look at New Testament verses that use the Greek word angelos to prove it out. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, we see the word messenger, angelos, used to point to leaders. Haggai 1:13 says, "Then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, angelos, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." Malachi 2:7 says, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he, the priest, is the messenger, angelos, of the Lord of hosts." We see the word angelos pointing to John the Baptist in Matthew 11:10. "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Mark 1:2 is also speaking of John the Baptist. "As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I will send my messenger, angelos, before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Luke 7:24 is pointing to the disciples of John the Baptist. "And when the messengers, angelos of John, were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind." Messiah confirms that the messenger is John the Baptist in Luke 7:27-28. "This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Luke 9:52 points to Messiah's disciples, says, "And sent messengers before thy face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him." Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible says, "In the original, the word is angels, and that the use of that word here shows that the word angel in the Bible does not always mean heavenly being." Adam Clark's commentary in the Bible says, "This proves that the word angel signifies a messenger of any kind, whether divine or human. The messengers in this case were probably James and John." In Galatians 4:14, the Apostle Paul calls himself an angel. "And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." James 2:25 uses the same word to refer to Joshua's leaders. "Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, angelos, and had sent them out another way?" So we can see that the Greek word angelos can point to earthly messengers, the leader of Messiah's ecclesia of saints. Given the context of Matthew 24:31, the angels refer to the leaders in the early assembly of believers. The elect, the saints, fled to the mountains before the time of great tribulation for the unbelieving Jews. Messiah tells us in verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." the elect are the saints who escaped Jerusalem and fled to the mountains for protection during the war. The days are the time of great tribulation in Matthew 24:21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The days are the 1290 and 1335 days of Daniel 12, which foretold this time of trouble for the Jewish nation during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. Daniel 12:1 points to the elect, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. They're pointing to the same thing. They're pointing to the elect that are saved from the time of calamity for the Jewish nation. And Daniel 12:11-12 points to these days. And from the time that the daily sacrifice be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. So who waited? Messiah's saints, who saw the abomination of desolation in November 66 AD, and then fled to Pella. They waited in the mountains until the end of the Jewish-Roman War, which took place in 70 AD. Now that the Roman siege of Judea was over and Jerusalem lay in ruins, they had been delivered. The threat of the elect being killed was over, but they can't return to their old homes, which had been destroyed. So what would they do now? At this point, the leaders, the angels, called an assembly of the people in the mountains to come together. And how would you do that? With a trumpet. We can see in Numbers 10:2-3 that trumpets are used to call together an assembly, a gathering. Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shall thou make them, that thou may use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. Judges 3:27-28 gives an example of blowing the trumpet in the mountain to draw the people together. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount. Isaiah 27:13 gives another example of the custom of calling the Israelites together with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Joel 2:15 says, blow the trumpet in Zion to sanctify a fast and to call a solemn assembly. The leaders, Agalos and Pella's mountain, call the gathering of the elect from all directions, from the four winds, to have an assembly. Eusebius records that after the conquest of Jerusalem, Simeon, the apostles, and the disciples of Messiah came together from all directions to take counsel as to who was worthy to succeed James. They all with one consent pronounced Simeon, the son of Clopas, whom the gospel also mentions, worthy of that parish's episcopal throne. According to Eusebius, Simeon was the son of Clopas, the brother of Joseph, making him Messiah's first cousin. Some believe Simeon was the bridegroom at Cana, for whom Jesus turned water into wine. Simeon was the new leader of Jerusalem's church to minister to those who returned to the ruins. Epiphanius documented that some of the saints who had fled to Pella returned to Jerusalem to minister there, which Aquila witnessed during his 129 AD visit. So Aquila, while he was in Jerusalem, also saw the disciples of the apostles flourishing in the faith and working great signs, healings, and other wonders. For they had returned from the city of Pella to Jerusalem and were teaching. For when the city was about to be seized by the Romans, all the disciples were forewarned by an angel to migrate from the city since it was about to be completely destroyed. After they migrated, they settled in Pella, the city previously mentioned, across the Jordan, which is said to be of the Decapolis. But after Jerusalem was destroyed, they returned, as I said, and performed great signs. Some stayed in Pella to continue to minister people there, and others spread out to the Roman Empire. Just like Messiah sent his disciples out to preach the gospel to the house of Israel, he sent out his saints to preach the gospel to the Roman Empire's Gentiles, to redeem saints for the kingdom. Messiah said in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even until the end of the world. Amen. Acts 13:47 says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. The destruction of the city of their faith, Jerusalem, was staggering to the saints. The desolation of the temple and the Jewish leadership system was traumatic. After the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD, the saints needed to be gathered to help them move forward in carrying out ministry for the kingdom. Sounding the trumpet is analogous with proclaiming the gospel. Think of all the great saints who have proclaimed the gospel during the last 2,000 years, who have sounded the trumpet, who have helped gather the elect from all around the world. I believe that Matthew 24:31 was fulfilled in that generation, after the desolation of the Jewish nation. And I see that the results of what took place propelled Messiah's leaders, his angels, to proclaim the gospel around the world ever since, to gather in the elect for the kingdom. From the trumpet sounding in Pella to gather the leaders, the angels of Messiah's ecclesia of saints, until the last trumpet is sounded on the Feast of Trumpets, which points to Messiah's return, the angels of Messiah's ecclesia have proclaimed the gospel to the nations, from one end of heaven to the other, to gather the elect into the kingdom. And pastors have failed to show us the full vision of this verse, only assigning it to the end times. Here are some commentaries from the great theologians about the gathering of the elect. Adam Clark's commentary in the Bible says about he shall send his angels, his messengers, the apostles, and their successors in the Christian ministry. About the sound of the trumpet, he says it's a loud-sounding trumpet, the earnest, affectionate call of the gospel of peace, life, and salvation. About gathering together his elect, he says, it is worth serious observation that the Christian religion spread and prevailed mightily after this period, and nothing contributed more to the success of the gospel than the destruction of Jerusalem, happening in the very time and manner, and with the very circumstances, so particularly foretold by our Lord. It was after this period that the kingdom of Christ began, and his reign was established in almost every part of the world. John Gill's exposition of the entire Bible from 1809 says, not heavenly angels, but men angels, or messengers, the ministers and preachers of the gospel, whom Christ would call, qualify, and send forth into all the world of the Gentiles, to preach his gospel, and plant churches there still more, when that at Jerusalem was broken up and dissolved. These are called angels because of their mission and commission from Christ to preach the gospel, and because of their knowledge and understanding in spiritual things, and because of their zeal, diligence, and watchfulness. Koch's commentary on the Bible from 1803 says, this is all in the style and phraseology of the prophets, and stripped of its figures means that after the destruction of Jerusalem, Christ, by his angels or ministers, will gather to himself a glorious church out of all the nations under heaven. No one ever so little versed in history needs to be told that the Christian religion spread and prevailed mightily after this period, and hardly any one thing contributed more to the success of the gospel than the destruction of Jerusalem, falling out in the very manner and in the very circumstances so particularly foretold by our blessed Savior. Most Bible translations have greatly obscured this text by rendering the word angels, for though it generally signifies those celestial spirits who are on great occasions the messengers of God to our world, it is well known that the word refers not to their nature, but to their office, and it is often applied to men and rendered messengers. John Lightfoot, in a commentary on the New Testament from the Talmud in Hebraica from 1675, says, when Jerusalem shall be reduced to ashes, and that wicked nation cut off and rejected, then shall the Son of Man send his ministers with the trumpet of the gospel, and they shall gather together his elect of the several nations from the four corners of heaven. So the gathering of the elect represents Messiah using his angels, his messengers, his leaders to gather an assembly of the saints who had fled Judea. He protected them as he brought judgment on the unbelieving Jewish nation. The Father's kingdom continued on with the remnant of believing Jews who proclaimed the gospel to the nations. It's the hope statement of the Olivet Discourse, the promise that his kingdom would prevail amid the mighty Roman Empire, despite all of the opposition. We can see the full narrative, that the trumpet was sounded after the desolation of the Jewish nation to call an assembly of the leaders of Messiah's ecclesia, the angels, who went out to proclaim the gospel around the world. And we can see that what started in the first century continues to be fulfilled even today and will culminate until all the set-apart saints are redeemed into the kingdom and Messiah returns on the Feast of Trumpets. Let's step back to see the bigger picture that was painted by the visions that were given to the prophet Daniel. Daniel 2:44 says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2, 34 to 35 says, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth." Messiah's ecclesia of saints is the stone kingdom, as Messiah is the cornerstone. Messiah set up his father's kingdom in the first century, in the days of the Roman beast kingdom, and it has become a great mountain of people ever since. Daniel 7, 13-14 says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." Matthew 24:31 represents the gathering of the believing Jews together after the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD ended, sending them out to the nations to proclaim the gospel and gather the set-apart saints into the kingdom. What took place in the first century has resulted in Messiah's kingdom becoming a great mountain, a great nation. In the parable of the vineyard owner, the people killed the servants and then the son of the vineyard owner. Messiah proclaimed in Luke 20:15-14, "So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy those husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others." And when they heard it, they said, "God forbid." Matthew 21:43 says, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." Messiah used the mighty Roman army to desolate the unbelieving Jewish nation. And he used the believing Jews to create a nation, the Stone Kingdom, which since the first century has grown into a great mountain of people. Through the witness of the angels, the leaders of Messiah's ecclesia who have trumpeted the gospel all over the world. Once again, we see a valid explanation for the fulfillment of all that Messiah described in his Olivet Discourse when he said, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." In the next video, I'll discuss Messiah setting up his father's kingdom in the first century. Thank you for listening to this Olivet Discourse Decoded audio. You can save and print Olivet Discourse Decoded PDF summaries. You can request a free copy of the Olivet Discourse Decoded book or order a printed copy at www.theolivetdiscourse.com. Please share this podcast audio with others so that they can see the glory of Messiah in the fulfillment. I love y'all. Shalom.